listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. We don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands in the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events. And we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com.
We'd like to start off this week's edition of Grace Ambassadors Radio with a few comments that we have received. The first one says, thanks for your teaching. It's very insightful and motivating. I will start to put it in practice. Grace to others. See you in glory. The second comment that we have to share with you today says, thank you for the stand you take on right division. I'm weary of all the preaching that takes such liberty with the Word of God, mixing Israel with the body, but I stand on the Word rightly divided. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to share with us about anything that you've been studying in your Bible studies or anything you've heard on our radio broadcast, please go to our website, graceambassadorsradio.com, and fill out the contact form there with your questions or comments, positive or negative. We love to receive those. If you would rather send us a note in the mail, you can address your envelope to Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana 46986. Or you can give us a phone call and leave us a message at 828-528-1177, and we'll get back with you with answers to your questions. Now on to today's questions. Our first question today is, how can I tell what my level of anointing is?
Well, what a good question. I guess you go out to your car, and you look right next to the gas gauge. There's a fuel gauge, and then there's an anointing gauge. That's how you know. There's a dipstick underneath your hood, too. That's how you can tell your level of anointing. Yeah, that's, of course, being kind of funny there. But people think that people have anointing in churches today. If you watch TV very long and you watch a lot of the charismatic television shows or you hear just Christians talk, they'll talk about a level of anointing. And pastors have a little bottle of oil back there behind the altar, behind the podium, and they'll anoint you with oil because this is what James chapter 5 says, to heal the sick, you anoint with oil. But I think really behind the question is the idea of, you know, does God pour out some sort of special blessing on me? And how do I know how much blessing he's given me? And let me just set that to rest. If you trust the gospel, the grace of God, and you're saved by God's grace, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, you have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you have all spiritual blessings. You have every blessing God intended to give you in Christ in heavenly places, in Ephesians 1 verse 3, if you're saved by God's grace. Now, you may not know what those are, and you need to study those out, and you need to apply them from God's word. But when you're asking about a special anointing, You're hearkening back to the times in the Bible where God did not give all spiritual blessings to all people. Instead, he only gave some blessings to some people through the nation of Israel. And even in that nation, he selected a certain tribe to be priests. And only one priest would be a high priest. And then there were certain men selected to be prophets. And they had a special anointing or a blessing of God to be God's prophets and things. And so when God gave a special anointing, that's because they were lacking something. You don't lack anything in Christ. Colossians 2 verse 10 says you're complete in him if you're saved by the gospel of grace of God.
Well, our next question comes from doing a little Bible study. We find that we read that Paul calls himself an apostle. We read about these other 12 guys who are called apostles. The question is simply, what is an apostle?
What is an apostle? The Bible speaks about apostles being those sent by God, or specifically sent by Jesus, to lay a foundation. And, of course, everybody's familiar with the 12 apostles, those being the guys who followed Jesus around his earthly ministry, and that Jesus himself chose. He chose the 12. He even said in John that one of them was a devil, and it turned out to be Judas. And then in Acts chapter 1, Judas got replaced with Matthias by the other 11 and the Holy Ghost there. So there are 12 apostles, which were sent by Jesus to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And so they were the first ones sent out to preach that. And that's what they preached at Pentecost, the gospel of the kingdom. They did that with the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus calls out one apostle, an extra apostle, the apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. In Acts 9:15, Jesus says, I've chosen him. He's a chosen vessel to preach Jesus among the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel with the gospel of the grace of God. And so Paul was given a mystery gospel, one that was not given to the 12 apostles. And I'm just bringing this up because an apostle is someone whom Jesus sends with a special message to a group of people. The 12 apostles were sent with the special message of the gospel of the kingdom. That is, Christ was the king, and the kingdom, according to prophecy, was coming to earth. And that's what they were preaching at Pentecost. Of course, that hasn't happened for 2,000 years, and so their message was interrupted. Their message was put on hold, so to speak, when the apostle Paul was sent from the Lord Jesus to preach a gospel to the whole world, which was the gospel of God's grace. And so Paul had a special message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was sent not to Israel, but to Gentiles. The 12 apostles, there was one chosen for each tribe of Israel. And so in case you've ever wondered why there were 12, that's the answer. There were 12 tribes of Israel, so one apostle per tribe. They were sent to the 12 tribes of Israel, which is what James chapter 1 verse 1 says. They were sent to the 12 tribes to preach the gospel of Israel's kingdom. In contrast to that is the Apostle Paul. So an apostle is someone who has seen Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 1 says that. And they're sent with a message. They're the first ones sent with a message to lay a foundation for their audience.
Well, if that's the definition from the Bible of what an apostle is, what about when we watch television or we go to some of these churches where their leaders are titled apostle or they call themselves an apostle? Are there apostles today?
It's amazing to me how people claim that, because if they're apostles, then that means they're claiming that God spoke to them directly and that God's doing a new, fresh work in their ministry. And of course, that's what they say. You know, God's doing a new work here. Well, God hasn't written any more scripture for 2,000 years, and God is doing the same thing he's been doing for 2,000 years since he revealed the gospel in the church to the Apostle Paul, was that he's trying to see people saved through Christ's finished work. He's trying to build up this church that he's created. And this is what God is doing, and this is what every church ought to be doing. And so for someone to stand up in front of a church and say, I'm an apostle, they're claiming to have a special message that no one's had for 2,000 years, and this is just absurd. And so it's amazing to me, these guys that do that. And of course, the other day I read an article about an apostle, and he claimed or a prophet or someone who claimed to resurrect someone from the dead through Facebook, you know, and because of his special anointing. Later you find out he had some sort of financial problems in his ministry or something like that. You know, you read about these other apostles, and they teach heresy about Jesus. So some apostles out there teach Jesus wasn't God, or that they deny the Trinity. And so they deny teachings in the Scripture. And so how in the world can you be called an apostle if you deny what the Scripture says? You know, and so I often tell people in my congregation that one good test to see if people are what they say is just to ask them whether or not they have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, the fellowship of the mystery. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 3, verse 1. He says, have you heard, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word? And he's asking the Ephesians this. And so when you ask an apostle, a modern day apostle in your church, if they have heard of that, and they respond with, no, that should really raise a red flag for you. Because the last thing Jesus told an apostle in the Bible was the dispensation of the grace of God. And if someone claims to be an apostle today and they've never heard of it, that tells you two things. One, they don't study the Bible. And number two, they don't know what Christ told the apostles in the scripture. So how in the world do they have any authority to tell you what God is saying today? So, you know, are there apostles today? No, of course not. And I got a little sidetracked there talking about some of the problems with modern apostles. But the purpose of apostles in the Bible was to lay a foundation of a church. And that's what the 12 apostles did for Israel. That's what Paul the apostle did for the body of Christ. They laid a foundation. You know, Paul called himself a master builder. He was like an architect. Christ gave him the blueprints, and Paul laid down the foundation, that foundation being Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. And so once that foundation is laid, once you dig in the ground and lay down the concrete, and you lay down the foundation of your house, you don't continually lay the foundation. The people who come after the foundation layers are those who build the floor and the walls and the windows and then the roofers. You see, there's a building process, and the church is God's building. And he laid a foundation early on with the apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2 verse 15 says that, or 2:20, excuse me, where apostles and prophets laid a foundation. Now, once that foundation is laid, we don't need them anymore. Their function is worthless, especially since we have the blueprints recorded and inspired for us in the scripture. Do not let someone who self-claims to be an apostle rob you from understanding the Bible and your complete position in Christ. Open up the Bible and study it for yourself. You can understand what God is doing today, and you can help build on the foundation that's already been laid.
You had just mentioned a few seconds ago about prophets, and you kind of lumped them together in with apostles. So what about prophets? Are there still prophets today?
The reason why I lumped them together is because the Bible does this. The foundation of the church was laid by apostles and prophets. And it's hard to be an apostle without being a prophet, because apostles are sent by Jesus to lay a foundation. And prophets is a special spiritual gift, a spiritual position, whereby God speaks through that person. So a prophet speaks for God. Now, I'm not talking about the teacher or pastor in your church. That's not prophecy. Just because someone studies the Bible and stands up and teaches you something, just because you listen to me on the radio, does not mean I'm a prophet. Even if I communicate truth to you, it doesn't mean I'm a prophet. A prophet is someone who speaks God's words. That's why in the Old Testament, in the prophetic books, the prophets back there would say, "Thus saith the Lord," because they're speaking for God. They're just the messenger for God's words. And so when someone today claims to have the gift of prophecy, or that God has declared them a prophet, what they're saying out of their mouth is not just them relaying truth from the Bible or saying some good advice. What they're claiming is that God is speaking through me, and the words that come out of their mouth are God's words. And they're things that if God is speaking to you, wow, you should obey and listen. And again, you put the prophets to the test, and it's really a shame that people do that, because the prophets, they either claim things that the Bible doesn't say, or contradictory to the scripture, or are so generic that anyone can say them. They don't need God's help to say, have a good day, and, you know, God wants great things for you. That is not a prophecy. That's just a wish. That's just a hope, you know. So again, the same test applies. I tell folks in our congregation, when someone claims to be a prophet, you ask the prophet who claims to be speaking for God whether or not they've heard of the revelation of the mystery. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about prophets in the church, and he makes that a test. And he says, if they don't acknowledge the things that Paul said are the things of the Lord, then they're not a prophet. And the things that Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 9, is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What Paul said in Romans 16, 25 is to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. If a prophet today that is at your church doesn't know the revelation of the mystery, then they're not speaking for God, and you ought to avoid them. And better yet, open your Bible, and you read what it said. You don't have to be a prophet to understand the scripture. And so just as God gave apostles to lay a foundation, the reason why God gave prophets was so that people could understand what God wanted them to know. You know, when prophets, the gift of prophecy was given in the church, it's because there was not a Bible there. There wasn't a book that people can pick up and start reading Paul's epistles. All of the epistles of Paul were written by the gift of prophecy, you see. So before those things were written, the church would gather together and they couldn't open a book. They had to say, where's God's prophets? And they would stand up and speak. And the apostles, where are God's apostles? They would stand up and speak. And it's just a shame that the churches today, after we have inspired scripture from the apostles and prophets that God chose to send out, that they continue to ignore those apostles and the epistles, the inspired scriptures we have, and pretend that they're also apostles and prophets. And especially, again, when you ask them about things that, the Bible does say, according to Paul, and they don't know, this is just detrimental to spiritual growth.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to talk a bit more about how God is speaking today here on Grace Ambassadors Radio. Every week, millions of adults suffer from the same terrible condition, Bible ignorance. Experts say most adults can't name the first book of the Bible. Do you think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, Paul was one of the 12 apostles, or that the red letters are the most important? If you have any of these symptoms, act now. Get help by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. You're not alone. Bible ignorance can be cured. Help stop the ignorance by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. Here's what people are saying about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division.
I never really realized the extent of religious bondage that I was in until I heard and believed the truth of God's Word rightly divided.
Right Division is about separating Scripture so you know what God's doing today.
Rightly dividing the Bible helps you understand what in the Bible is for your participation so that you won't be confused as many things in Scripture seem to be apparent contradictions.
The motivation for living for Christ comes from an understanding of the truth of God's Word rightly divided, not from external pressures of a religious system.
It helped me to be able to understand my Bible, that I can understand it without somebody telling me.
The ability to clearly understand God's Word and His will has improved my life in immeasurable ways.
I would say that I have understanding of issues regarding the Bible that I never had before.
Learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division at GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. So far today on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we've talked about anointing apostles and prophets. Oh my! Well, the rest of this question and answer session today, we're going to be talking about how God speaks. And so the natural question here is, if we learn that apostles and prophets are speaking for God, and we just learned that there aren't apostles and prophets today, are you saying that God doesn't speak to anyone today?
Just to clarify the question, you know, when we were saying before that there's no apostles and prophets today, I mean today in 2016. I don't mean there weren't any ever in the church. I mean, obviously in the Bible, there were apostles and prophets when the church began, and that's why we articulated that that was necessary, because there were not written instructions, inspired scriptures from God. There was nothing for men to trust as we have today in a book. Instead, you know, they had to rely on those who performed the supernatural powers by the Holy Spirit to be of God, and there was ways they can test that. That'd be another good question or episode to deal with, you know, how do you know a prophet from the scripture? But that was in the early church. And so your question was, how does God speak to us today, or does he speak to us today? And, you know, one of the worst things that I hear Christians saying is when they say, God told me. Have you ever heard that, when a Christian tells you, God spoke to me, and he told me to tell you this, or told me to do this? Wow. Just stop saying that. Christians are their own worst enemies sometimes, you know? And when they say, God told me this, or God spoke to me that, and then whatever happens, sometimes nothing happens and it's just fine. Other times, what God told them to do is a mistake. It turns out to be a mistake. Wow. Now you're blaspheming God. You know, in the Bible, blasphemy is when you live or say or do something in the name of God and it wasn't really what God said. And so this sin, I think, is committed more often than most sins today, just because people say all the time, God told me, God spoke to me, and he really didn't. They've been taught to say that that inner voice in their head is God, or what they feel in their gut is God. And that's not God, folks. That's not God. You can be deceived by your feelings. You can be deceived by that still small voice in your head. When God speaks, you know. And God has spoken through the scripture. That we all know. You know, when you're laying in bed and you say, well, I heard last night while I was sleeping before I, you know, went to bed, God spoke to me. You know, or I went to, you know, Chili's for dinner and I had that steak and onions and then suddenly God spoke to me, you know. People talk like that and it's just nonsense and it's blasphemous, you know, but people just kind of laugh about it. But, you know, I can't trust you. I don't know. I wasn't there at Chili's with you. I wasn't in bed with you when you say God spoke to me. I don't know whether he did or not. How am I supposed to know that God spoke to you? But what we can know together objectively is that all scripture is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16. And so we know that the Bible is God's word and that we agree on. And so when someone says that God spoke to me, God told me, the first thing I think is, well, you know, where's chapter and verse for that? Where's the Bible say that? And they say, well, there is none. He spoke to me directly. I say, wow, that's amazing. What an amazing privilege you just given from God. But I don't know what you're saying is true. And you know what? I'm not going to claim that God said it unless, you know, it aligns with what God's word says. So, you know, is God speaking to people today? Yes, through the Bible. God speaks today through his word. He gives you the Holy Spirit when you believe that dwells in you. And when you pray to God, you're speaking to him. And when you read the Bible, he speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you through his written word. That's how God speaks.
So are you saying that we never actually hear God's voice, that he never speaks outside of scripture through another person or anything like that?
Well, here's the thing. You read the Bible, and the Bible is a record of how God's intervened in the world through history. And we read that God has spoken audible words to people. God has spoken through donkeys. God has spoken through unbelieving high priests in Israel. He's spoken through enemies. Remember Balak and Balaam back there. And so God has spoken in many different ways. What we know today is that God speaks through his word, and the Bible tells us that it is profitable to make the man of God thoroughly furnished, perfect, unto all good works. That word perfect in 2 Timothy 3:17 means that the Bible has everything you need. It's able to complete you. Perfect doesn't mean sinlessness or, you know, this sort of thing. It means complete, you know, filled up. So all your equipment is in the scripture. If I told you that I have a gym and I want you to come over and exercise in my gym, and this gym has everything you need to make you stronger, to make you build muscles, everything you need. There's nothing else that you need except in this gym. You wouldn't ask me, well, is there something I need to bring? Is there something else outside the gym that I need to do? I just told you that the gym contains everything you need, you know. And so the Bible tells us that. The Bible says it contains everything that we need in order to be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so we have a book to study. And so to say that, well, I need God to speak to me, are you saying God doesn't speak to me elsewhere? It's just denying what the Bible itself says about itself. You know, you're saying, well, the Bible's not sufficient. It's not complete. I need something else. The Bible lacks something. And so you're looking outside the scripture in order to get something else. And it's not only wrong, but it's dangerous because now you have no basis to know whether or not God's speaking to you in that voice or not. Maybe it was just a bad dinner that you had that gave you some stomach rumblings. Maybe if you're looking at the circumstances around you, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago in the episode, that you know, you can't trust the circumstances. Every time in the Bible when God speaks, people know it. Every time in the Bible that God judges through natural disasters, he tells people. You know, he prophesies about it. He sends messengers to warn them about it. No time in the scripture does God operate in secret, not telling you what he's doing. We always know in the Bible what God is doing. And what we know today is that God is working through his church, the body of Christ, in whom his spirit dwells when you believe the gospel of Christ. And he's told us and entrusted us as the pillar on the ground of truth to preserve and maintain the scripture, his book that he's inspired. And so we have this book for God to communicate to us and teach us what he's doing.
So you're saying we don't hear God's actual voice. Apostles and prophets don't exist today to communicate for God. He speaks to us through his word. He's not speaking to us through circumstances, but surely God is showing us signs of this and such and what we need to do or where to go.
Yeah, well, and again, that's the misinterpretation. He's not giving you some sort of circumstantial sign. God speaks through his word very clearly what he wants you to do. His will is laid out in 1 Timothy 2:4. He wants you to be busy making all men see fellowship with the mystery. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth which is contained in the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, so you can learn that doctrine and instruction in righteousness. So he's given you everything you need. All the doctrine is in this book. When you haven't studied the book yet and you're looking for the shortcut, you're looking for, well, I think God spoke to me last week because some special blessing happened in my life. Some good circumstance happened. That must have been God. You know, my house was not hit by the tornado. God was telling me I'm doing a good job. And God was telling my neighbor he did a bad job because his barn got blew up by the tornado. You know, God's not speaking that way. And no one heard a voice from God. Nobody, I don't know if someone's out there claiming that, but it'd be wrong to. Because today, we know whether or not God responds to us good or bad based on what the scripture says. And Romans 5:1 says we have peace with God by faith, not by what we see, what the Bible says. By faith, we have peace with God because we trust what Christ did on the cross. So God commends his love to all of us through his death on the cross. And so to say that, you know, God hates me today because Starbucks was blown over, you know, and I love Starbucks. No, God commended his love toward you in that Christ died on the cross for you. God, and despite all the coffee places and churches nowadays, you know, God's not blessing or cursing people based on the placement of their coffee joints. But God is not speaking through your circumstances. And when you realize that, you become established in what God is saying through the Bible, you become a more stable person, a more stable Christian. And this is really the critique that people have against Christianity, is that they're unstable people because they're following the winds and the whims of circumstances, thinking it's God telling them this and that. And sometimes they make very silly and wrong choices because of their gut feelings. And they can destroy and ruin lives as a result. Instead of walking in prudence and wisdom and studying God's word and letting God's word guide you, instead they let the circumstances and their feelings guide them. And this itself is ungodly. This is contrary to scripture.
This week on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we've been talking about how God speaks today. If you have any questions about that topic or any other Bible questions or comments about this program, please be sure to let us know at graceambassadorsradio.com. You can also visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com, to hear this episode again or any of our previous episodes. They're all archived there for you.
The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana. The only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.